loving God. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. I was just wondering if maybe you wanted to dance. It's okay. I didn't really want to dance anyway. But we do want to dance, don't we? Sometimes we're afraid to ask. Sometimes we're afraid to say yes because we don't know the steps. We'll look foolish. But deep in our hearts, we want to be out there dancing. We want to let our hair down, just let loose. We want to look suave and confident. We want to look at home in our bodies. We want to be all a tingle. We want to fit in, not just with the crowd, but with the whole rhythm of the universe. Have you seen people dancing? Like, really dancing? Like the ballet when it goes beyond performance. You just know something spiritual, something glorious is happening. Even on TV, on the right night, Dancing with the Stars, or so you think you can dance, that everything's just right, and the dancers aren't even thinking about the contest. They're just dancing. Tribal dancing, where every dancer has a part to play, all becoming part of the story, connecting to the past, reaching into the future. Children dancing, just that utter joy at living, not able to contain themselves, with energy inside that just has to get out. When kids start dancing, they really dance. They're everywhere. They just do that, and you can't stop them. You remember what that was like? This morning, we have two stories about two different kings, David and Herod. David, who danced, and I quote, "David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines, castanets and cymbals." And then Herod, for whom I have no quote, but I am willing to bet, never danced. Ever. I mean, it's Herod. David had just become king. His long, torturous battle with Saul, whom he loved and with whom he warred, is over. And in this moment, the people are 100% behind David. They rejoice in his ascension to the throne, and now he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant. You remember from Raiders of the Lost Ark? The Ark of the Covenant, 10 commandments in their container. He's bringing it to the place where they're going to build the temple. This is a great day. And David, in his joy, he's going to dance with his men. He will dance in public naked, except for his ephod, which really is just kind of an apron. So he's pretty much dancing naked with all his might. Quite the show. Does he think he is, Trudeau? It's amazing. Herod has been king for quite a while now. Now, although a Jewish king, his power comes from Rome, and they allow him to administer Judea, provided he follows the instructions. So he has money and position. He has his brother's wife, because she decided to trade up. And then the pesky prophet John the Baptist makes him uncomfortable by reminding him that it's not only tasteless to take your brother's wife while he's still living, it's actually kind of a sin in God's eyes. But then, having put John in prison, Herod doesn't hear much about it anymore. Now, he has a party, invites the local big shots. And if you thought there would be dancing, well, then you'd be right. But Herod's not dancing. His stepdaughter is doing the dancing. And in the story, I know it gets confusing because in this story, she bears her mother's name. So it's like Herodia, daughter of Herodia. But history knows her better as Salome, okay? And Herod, whatever her name, he likes her dancing. somewhat inappropriately when you think about it. And in his unfocused state, he offers the young dancing girl anything she desires, even half of his kingdom. So taking a moment to confer with her mother, Herod's former sister-in-law, now wife, Salome comes back and asks for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Like I said, Herod doesn't dance. He doesn't even try and dance out of this predicament. He just doesn't dance. He's not about to be lost in the magic of the moment. He's not going to dance in joy or freedom like Moses' sister Miriam when they crossed the Red Sea. He's not going to dance with the abandon of a child. He's not going to dance like a hopeful teenager at the prom. Herod does not dance. Why not? Well, Herod doesn't dance, I'll suggest, because he's afraid. Afraid of what people will say about him behind his back or to his face. He's afraid of public opinion. Herod, according to the gospel, doesn't want to have John the Baptist killed. But he's afraid of losing face in front of his guests. I mean, he gave his word to the girl. Again, his stepdaughter. Ick. He promised her anything she asks. And he doesn't want his guests to think that he'll go back on his word. He's terrified of looking like he's weak or foolish. And you know what? You don't dance when you're terrified of looking weak or foolish. And Herod won't dance because he's not free. See, Herod has a history of avoiding things, burying those things that bother him. Rather than facing them, rather than dealing with them, John the Baptist is one such person or thing. He challenges Herod to be a better man. His wife Herodias wants John put to death, and I quote, "Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him." Did you hear that? So rather than face the holy man or face his wife, Herod simply locks John up, puts him away, hoping that the voice of God will go away, hoping that the problem will go away. He's going to do the same thing with Jesus in a short time, turn his back on the problem rather than confronting or engaging with Jesus. Herod avoids. Herod's not a dancer. And Herod won't dance because he feels alone. He's taken his brother's wife, so you know that relationship is shattered. His wife plots against him, so that's not really a strong relationship either. He's attracted to his stepdaughter's dancing. That's not a healthy relationship. He fears the judgment of his guests so deeply that he will kill a man that he considers holy. So where are his friends, his confidants, and God? Well, Herod acts like a believer, but deep inside he knows if there's a God, he is in trouble. So better if there isn't a God. Herod feels alone. And I know you can dance by yourself, but it's really hard to dance when you feel utterly alone. But David dances with all his might, we're told. David. You heard some of the features of David's life that we just read out in that little trivia contest before. David has intrigue in his royal palace. His wife, Michal, as we heard, despises him in her heart. And he too will have a pesky prophet speaking God's word of judgment during his reign. And David will make bad decisions, horrible decisions. He will sin, he will make enemies. But through it all, even if it's not always recorded, I'm telling you, David will dance. David will dance because he doesn't worry about public opinion, because he knows that God has chosen him. He knows that God loves him. David's going to dance because he's free. He's free to choose. He'll choose very badly at times. He will, from time to time, be tempted to avoid things, but most of the time, he won't. He will listen to the prophet speak the word of God, and even when it hurts, he will try. He will sin, and he will repent. He will succeed, and he will fail again and again and again. But David will dance because he knows he's not alone. Even when things are darkest and he's wandered as far away from God as he possibly can, He knows that God has not wandered away from him. He doesn't live in fear of God's existence. He actually seeks God's presence. And in it, he dances. He dances with all his might. He dances like Gene Kelly singing in the rain. As the rain comes down, he jumps in puddles. He's singing and dancing in the rain. For David, the dance is a celebration of his humanity, and it's an assurance of God's love. Loved by God, what could matter more? Not public opinion, not loss of face, not family strife or strain, not mistake. I'm trying. When the world's heavy, and it seems like I'm the only one trying to do the right thing, I dance. Reminding myself that I'm not alone. My value, my worth aren't dependent on public opinion. And I don't have to hide from anything. Honestly, dancing makes me braver sometimes. When my heart is heavy and I'm grieving for lost friends or lost dreams, I dance. Reminding myself that I'm not alone. My grief is shared by God. And I have nothing to fear. Even as the world changes, there is a place, there is a way for me. Dancing calms me down. When I'm smiling, watching the sunrise, getting ready for a new day, I got a skunk in my backyard now these days. It's really cool. And I love him, although I try to refrain from dancing until he leaves. But once he's gone, the early morning, I dance, celebrating that I'm not alone, that I live a life of possibilities, and whatever comes my way today, I'm going to share it with God. And then tomorrow will be another sunrise, another new day. Honestly, it thrills me. We dance for pleasure. We dance in sorrow. We dance in grief. We dance in love. We dance because we can. Some of us dance in our chairs. Some of us dance in our minds. Some of us get up and dance. At the beginning of the sermon, I shared with you a teenage memory of dancing. I got turned down a lot. But I have another. And I probably shared this with you before because it's a very vivid, vivid memory for me. My Nana Maudie and Grandpa Norm had been living in Uganda for a couple of years. My grandparents lived on the other side of the world so that my grandfather could oversee the smelting operations in Uganda. And during their stay in Uganda, Supreme Dictator for Life, Idi Amin Dada, expelled all of the foreigners, at least the ones he didn't like. He liked my grandfather. Needed him, he felt. Idi Amin ruled by terror and by murder. And he came to my grandparents' village to make sure that they were going to stay and continue their valuable work. My grandparents fled immediately in the dead of night. And it was a narrow and harrowing escape to Kenya, eventually back to Canada. So a couple months later, it's New Year's Eve, and they were with us in Toronto. My parents were out. My grandparents were watching my sister and I. My sister Kathy, she was long ago asleep, but I was awake at midnight to witness. As the year changed, they kissed and they cried and they began to dance. Slowly, they danced together. They danced because they were free. They danced because they weren't alone. They danced because they no longer needed to be afraid. And I remember absolutely as if it was happening right now. I remember the dance was gentle and it was a little bit sad. It was beautiful and it was holy. Sometimes that's the best way to dance. Could I have this dance for the rest of my life? Will you be my partner every night? When we're together, it feels so right. Could I have this dance for the rest of my life? And God says, yes. Yes, you can. And that's the gospel. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the dance that is life. The dance that we feel when we get up and move across the floor, when we move in our chairs, when we move in our hearts. The dance when we feel free, unafraid, not alone. God, we thank you for your gospel, your good news that we are not alone, that we are free, and that we can dance. God, keep us dancing, and let us from time to time invite others to join. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.